This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here listening to WNRN. My name's Rick Moore. This is the Sunday morning wake-up call. And today, we're talking about parenting, something that every person, 100% of our listeners should be able to discuss because you either are a parent, were a parent, or sit on the sidelines and make fun of parents as to why they can't do it the way you would do it. Our guests today, we have Wanda Seagroves, keynote speaker at the upcoming Parenting Power Workshop that will be in just a few weeks here in our area. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to crank that volume on yours. So how are you today?
I'm good.
Brandon, get in here for a second and tote that mic a little better for me. We also have Chris Burton. Chris, good morning. Chris Burton is a family specialist at the Children, Youth, and Family Services here in our area. How are you today?
Doing well, Rick.
Thank you so much, all right, for taking the time to come in and be with us. We are going to be talking about parenting. And I think, again, something that everyone can participate in the discussion. The reason that we put this together is because there's going to be a parenting workshop. Chris, can you give us the details on that? Because it's not this Sunday, but it's upcoming soon.
Correct. It's Saturday, March 15th at Burley Middle School from 8:30 in the morning until 1:30 in the afternoon. And basically, what we're going to have is we're going to have Wanda as a keynote speaker there, and then there will be two sessions of breakouts where parents will be able to go and listen to speakers on different topics and ask questions from panels and get some perspective on things that they could be doing or in things that might help them in their lives.
Excellent. And again, I got the press release for this. I get lots of press releases for things that are happening to be considered for shows. And I was fascinated because, again, I'll announce this now, and I'm sure I'll say it a couple other times during the program. I am not a parent. I'm a caretaker of an old dog, but I have two parents who are still key in my life. In fact, I'll see them later today. I come from a fairly large extended family, but I know nothing about parenting. So those of you out there who have questions because you are a parent, you're welcome to call throughout the hour. It's 434-979-0919. Our guest, Wanda Seagroves, upcoming keynote speaker on the Parenting Power Workshop. Also an attachment theory specialist, and I'm curious to find out exactly what attachment theory is. And Chris Burton, who's a family specialist at our local Children, Youth, and Family Services. So question, and Wanda, we'll start with you. How do you teach parenting?
Well, that's a really good question. It's something that we've been asking for as long as humans have been around and as long as we've been parenting. Really, parenting is about understanding what our kids' needs are. And I know that sounds really basic, but it's learning how to read our children's signals and cues and take in all of the challenges that are going on in the environment and think about what do they need? What do they need emotionally? What do they need physically? What do they need intellectually? And the really important piece, I think, about this workshop that's coming up is being able to have an opportunity to talk about one of the important things that children need is a relationship with their parents across their lifespan. So teaching parenting is about teaching us how to be in relationship with our kids and also how to meet their needs, take charge when we need to. I mean, boy, that sounds so simple, yet it's so complex.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm envisioning is a 101-style class for a topic that is more for grad students. I mean, I just have this image in my head of, you know, the the pregnant woman and her husband taking a class and sitting down and taking notes, and then being thrust into this topic of which every decision you question whether you've done it right or not. Can you learn from, again, I go back to this nature versus nurture concept. How much of good parenting skills are, I don't know that genetic is the right word, but are come from learning and the environment in which you grew up versus sitting down in a class and taking it, watching other people and how they do things, and then bringing it into your own family environment?
Well, it's both, I think. You know, as human beings, we're learning across the course of our life. Let's hope we don't stop learning, right? And so whereas you and I might not be able to remember what it was like when we first learned to walk, we obviously did because we're walking. And so I say that in thinking about how much of parenting is about nurture, how much of it is about nature. It's a combination of both. You know, there are things that we learned being parented, growing up in families, that we think about, boy, I'd like to be able to do that when I'm a parent. There are other things we experienced as kids growing up, and we think, oh, boy, I hope I don't make that mistake with my kids. Well, we'll make our own, you know, our own new ones. But part of what we do is based on what we learned growing up that we're not even aware of. How many of us have said, you know, something to one of our kids, and we've said, oh, my gosh, it sounds like that's my mom coming out of my mouth or my dad coming out of my mouth. I didn't even realize that was in there until I said it. You know,
right. It's one of those old family sitcom things where the child screams at the mother or father, I'll never treat my kids like that. You know,
that's right.
And that's what you see in the flashback as they then say that to their, you know, to the current child.
Yeah, I have this great cartoon of a parent coming into the living room, and the parent's spouse and child are sitting in this living room, and there's this great big mess. And the parent says, oh, my gosh, I can't believe you made such a mess in this place. If you don't clean it up right now, there's no dinner for anybody. And then the parent covers their mouth and said, oh, my gosh, I think my mother just came out of my mouth. And the parent who's sitting in the living room with the child says, your mother? I thought that was my mother.
So, Chris Burton from the local Children, Youth, and Family Services, you were one of the people on the committee that put this program together, again, upcoming on March 15th at Burley Middle School here in Charlottesville. Do you have to be a Charlottesville Albemarle resident to participate?
No, anyone from the area who wants to come. We just ask that they sign up for registration, which you can sign up through the Safe Schools Seaville, www.safeschoolsseaville.org website. There's a link on that for a registration page, and we just want them to register for the event through that because there's lunch provided, which you can make your lunch choices. There's also free child care provided there. And then that way you can have a free morning to learn more from a lot of experts that are going to be at the Parenting Power event.
All right, because WNRN reaches all the way down to Richmond and 103.1 and then Lynchburg, Lexington, etc. So good to know that anyone can participate if they go to the right website.
Yes.
All right. So Children, Youth, and Family Services, give us a brief background on that, because when I hear that, fair or not, I have visions of, I don't want to use this word, but broken families, families in need of government services to help make their family better. Fair? True?
It's interesting you bring that up, Rick, because that can be a perception from people, but that's not at all what we're about. We've actually been in the community for a long time, and Children, Youth, and Family Services, really our goal is helping kids get ready for school and ready for relationships in life. Those are our two focuses. The making sure kids are ready to learn. You know, some of the things happening in our society now and in our community, kids, particularly from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, end up being behind before getting into school, being behind both academically and socially and emotionally, and that affects their success later in life as well, even at 5 years old in kindergarten up through third grade and so on. And that's that's what our focus is at Children, Youth, and Family Services, is really focusing on kids and families and those relationships and the learning process of young children.
So how does this workshop come about through a committee? What's the need for it? Is this something that's a national need that you said, let's bring it local? Have you seen something that's more local that makes you want to put it together?
This is the second year this is being done. This is a collaborative effort between community organizations such as Children, Youth, and Family Services, Region 10 Community Services Board, SARA, the Sexual Assault Resource Agency, and Safe Schools, Healthy Students with the Charlottesville Albemarle Schools. So it's really a collaborative effort between the schools and community organizations to really say, give parents a chance to come and get re-energized and to maybe think about things in a way that they wouldn't think about when they're at home and kind of in the midst of everything. I'm a newer parent myself, and I know that it's when you're in the midst of it, sometimes you don't really think about it. But hearing someone else's perspective or being able to ask questions or being able to address experts really helps with giving you some perspective on things that maybe you could use in your life. It's not necessarily you want to go out and be and tell people, well, this is how you need to parent, because I think that's not at all what we're about. We're really wanting to give people tools and resources and understanding so that they can make better decisions for their family and help them make decisions that are going to benefit their family and the relationships there.
Now, Wanda Seagroves, who is the keynote speaker at this Parenting Power Workshop, but also an attachment theory specialist. So I want you to define attachment parenting, but then Chris said, we don't want to tell you how to parent. And as I'm doing my, a little bit of my homework for today's show, I'm asking, isn't attachment theory telling you how to parent? So please define it first.
Well, I think the easiest way to understand it is that attachment is a felt sense of safety and security, so that I feel safe as a child, depending on my developmental level, of going out and exploring the world and learning more about it. And when I have a need of some kind, and relationally, we're talking about maybe about an emotional need, not so much a need for food or shelter, but when I have some sort of a need, right, I run down that charge of being energized and exploring the world. I need to get recharged. I need to be welcomed back somewhere. I need a safe haven in which to return. So when we talk about attachment parenting, we're talking about from the minute that baby comes home with you from the hospital or you have it there at home, creating in this child, through the way in which you interact with them, a sense that you're there for them, that you're going to watch over them and help them and scaffold them as they're learning about the world, which involves things from when am I able to cross the street by myself to when can I have my own cell phone. These are things parents are trying to regulate, to when something's bothering us or upsetting us or our kid has had some sort of a disappointment or a heartbreak, to welcome them back to us. We are the people that you can come to with your problems. It doesn't mean we have all the answers. It means we're there, and we're there consistently.
Am I foolish to think that is the manner that many parents, certainly new parents, anticipate that they're going to do their parenting? I mean, I just have this vision in my head. Again, I'm not a parent, and maybe it was just the way that I was raised and the lucky parents that I received. But you talk about, the phrase you used was scaffolding. So I have this image of pretty much wrapping your arms around your child. But the things that you mentioned as ways to that attachment parenting is the best way to do it. That's the image in my head of the way parenting has always been described. Or do we have such a large percentage of people who are not parenting that way that we need to have a workshop on it?
Well, I think for me, the important piece about participating in this workshop and getting to be the keynote speaker is to encourage parents. There are so many struggles parents are facing today, financial, spiritual, relational? Do I have enough income coming in to feed my kids and my family? All these pressures and stresses. And we hear about kids all the time about the issues that they're facing. So for me, it's being able to go in and say to parents, you are doing a lot of stuff right. Right? Because you're facing challenges does not mean that you're not an important person to your child. Because they're moving into a wider world and one that's more connected with overseas and instant messaging, don't underestimate the value and the importance of you in your child's life and you to your child's life across their lifespan.
11:15 here on the Wake Up Call. We're talking about parenting. You're welcome to participate with a question or a comment, 434-979-0919. That's 979-0919. Our guest today, Wanda Seagrove, she's a keynote speaker at the upcoming Parenting Power Workshop, also an attachment theory specialist. We have Chris Burton. He's a specialist at Children, Youth, and Family Services here representing the upcoming Parenting Power Workshop, March 15th, 8:30 in the morning at Charlottesville's Burley Middle School.
Our members are joined by the following underwriters in their support of WNRN.
TNN Printing, serving Virginia since 1982. In addition to printing and copying, T&N specializes in construction document management, as well as dry mounting, binding, and mail services. T&N offers FSC-certified printing, an internationally recognized standard for production and consumption of forest products. T&N Printing can be reached at 434-971-8976 and t-nprinting.com.
Ragged Mountain Running Shop, number 3 Elliewood Avenue on the UVA corner. Ragged Mountain specializes in hard-to-fit feet, injury resolution, and training advice, and features nearly a dozen brands of running shoes. Charlottesville's community running headquarters since 1982, the Ragged Mountain Running Shop.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
All right. Thanks again, everybody. Everybody, welcome back to the program. Thank you so much for being here. Again, it helps when I push all the buttons at the right time. We are talking about parenting. And the upcoming Parenting Power Workshop that's on March 15th, we'll continue to throw that out on a regular basis. So our guests, Chris Burton and Wanda Seagrove. Wanda, you mentioned sort of how things have changed for parents and the new challenges. One of the things I've always questioned is, are the challenges really new and different? I mean, certainly technology has changed. But a couple of the things that we always talk about is family time, because both parents, many families, both parents have to work. But, you know, visions back to however far back you want to go, maybe not in the 1950s with our Leave It to Beaver type family, but certainly after that, and even before that, the mother may not have to go off and sit at her typewriter or whatever other socio-political error I can make in describing a woman's job. But at the farmhouse or in that time period, there were still women were working, maybe not putting on the pantsuit to go to work. And there are other issues where it's just a different vision of the challenge today.
Yeah, that's a really good question and observation. I mean, as I think about parenting, we talk about this this map that we use, sort of a shorthand for talking about kids' needs and relationships, and we call it the circle of security. And we think about it as the parents being the hands, right? The safe haven, the secure base. And kids, as we talk about the top of the circle, they sort of move out and away from us, depending on their developmental age, not very far or very far. And they're going out and exploring the world, and then as they're experiencing needs or we're sensing danger, we're bringing them back towards us. Now, it's true, those challenges and dangers have changed over time. I mean, living in an industrial age or a technological age, you talk about staying in touch and communication and family time. I'm not only a parent, but a grandparent. And these days, if I want to talk with my grown children or my grandchildren, I often get a text message, right? And I grew up in the age where we talked on the phone, so I miss the hearing their voice, right, live on the phone. My parents grew up in an age where people sat down at dinner and had conversation every night. So those kinds of connection challenges continue to change as our society changes. But what doesn't change is the child's need for someone to support and encourage their exploration based on their developmental level and what they can handle, and to be a safe place or a safe haven for them to come back to. And that come back to may be the dinner table at 5 o'clock every night, or it might be the text message that you get that says, Mom, I got one last night. Mom, can I call you now?
Instead of just calling.
Right.
And of course, as a mother, you said, yes, please.
I said, yes. Is something wrong?
Krishna, you said you're a new parent.
That's right.
So what are some of the, I mean, at Children, Youth, and Family Services, I'm sure you certainly see a lot of positives, but challenges as well for families. What do you bring home and being a new parent that you say, oh, I have to watch out for that, or, oh, we are not letting that happen?
Well, I think as a parent, you try not to put those stigmas on, oh, I'm not going to totally do that, or I'm not, because at some point when you're parenting, probably you do something and you look back and go, gosh, I shouldn't have done that, or I made a mistake. I think a lot of the big keys with what we're trying to get are very similar to what Wanda's talking about, where that bond between the children and that security and safety and then that allows the child to feel a sense of independence at different stages where they can explore and discover, and that gives them more of a sense of self. And that's something that as a new parent, I think we try to really look towards for our son, is that he's someone who's developing an identity, but knowing that we're there for him too. I think we see a lot at Children, Youth, and Family Services of families, and I think across any service organization and human services, you see a lot of families that do come at that stage where they're, I don't know if you want to say broken, but they're more, you know, they're more fragile, or something's happened, or there's some event that's occurred usually that sent them in that direction. And on our end, we're really trying to be on the preventative side, where we're there before those things happen, trying to help, you know, the single parents with a better understanding of how they can be give their children that safety and security from a very young age, or how they can promote development and promote their learning at a young age. Those are some of the challenges that are out there. And on top of that, with what Wanda was saying, with all the technology and all the communication, that really is a big change. There's so many more distractions now in the world, and really to take that time to focus on what your children are doing. And also the flip side of that is, as a parent, you've got to take time to focus on how you're doing, because you can't be a good parent to a child if you're always in a bad mood or always feeling down about things. You can't really focus on them if you're not feeling well. So some of that self-care that we need as parents, that's something that in the Parenting Power event that we're going to have a couple sessions on that. So how parents can take care of themselves, how that helps them take care of their children or helps their children feel more safe and secure in their environment.
You know, at the clinic, we talk about that as being nested hands. You know, I was saying that for kids to feel safe and secure, to explore the world and learn and feel welcome back, we think of parents as being a set of hands for them. I'll launch you out, I'll welcome you back.
Is this the where you turn the scaffold into the nest?
Yeah. But you know, parents need hands too, right? They need folks to welcome them in their struggles and their questions and their challenges. They need a place where they feel safe and secure. In fact, we all do across time. So the more that we can be there, not just, I'm not talking about the attachment clinic necessarily or Children, Youth, and Family Services, but we as human beings can be there for one another so that when our friends or people that we know are facing parenting challenges, they can come, know they have a safe place to explore that, or if they need additional assistance, to turn to a place like Children, Youth, and Family Services or the attachment clinic where I work, the Ainsworth Clinic, and say, boy, you know, we've got these big struggles going on and we're having trouble making sense of it, right? And what we try to do is help them discover, as we provide a safe place for them to explore, we'll be their hands so that they then can have a felt sense of what that's like, right? You get encouraged, you get re-energized again, you're ready to go out and face life's challenges as a parent. We want to encourage parents to be able to provide that same experience for their child.
I just find this fascinating. Thanks again to Chris Burton and Wanda Seagroves for being with us today as we talk about parenting, prompted by the upcoming Parenting Power Workshop, March 15th at 8:30 in the morning at Charlottesville's Burley Middle School. Chris, the 15th, that's a Saturday?
Correct. That's a Saturday.
All right. You can go online to sign up for it at
www.safeschoolseville.org.
All right. So, Wanda, you're talking about scaffolding, which my vision is pretty much of wrapping your hands all the way around your child, and then nesting, which is when your child is old enough to do some exploring on their own. And some of that is because there's, obviously, as your child grows, and what is the phrase here? Ages and stages. Who can talk about that? Because certainly that in itself, the image of scaffolding versus nesting must be a stage for a different age.
Well, as I think about scaffolding ages and stages, I think about how my two-year-old, who's trying to get the blocks to go together, right, needs something a little different. And I'm watching to see, do they need help, right? And if they do, how do I tip it a little bit to help, but not in my excitement take over and say, oh, let me do this. I can build you a great castle, right? To which my child then becomes disappointed because they wanted to do it themselves. So how do I provide the kinds of supports they need? A two-year-old needs something very different than a six-year-old who's got to go off and be at school all day, right? And they're not going to see you again until the end of the day. So how do I send a part of me inside of them with them as they go off to face the challenges of school and then the challenges of middle school and dating and driving? And how many of us have tried to teach a kid how to drive? Talk about scaffolding.
If my parents are listening right now as they're driving into the area, I'm sure my mother has cringed at the memories of trying to teach me how to drive a stick shift. Oh, bless her heart. Chris, ages and stages. So, is that something that goes along with the workshop? Or how does that fit into the workshop?
Right. Well, generally when we're talking about ages and stages, we're talking about developmental ages and stages. So, you know, what at a certain age are we expected as children? What kind of milestones were that, pediatricians and counselors and everybody and the school kind of expects you? Obviously, like Wanda said, they change significantly once you hit that school age. But, you know, I think about going to our pediatrician, and every time he asks a series of questions, some pediatricians actually give out a survey for parents to fill out and ask, has your child done this? Are they doing this? Are they at this point? And it's really the concept that we came up with was to help parents understand sort of, or answer questions really about where, what's developmentally appropriate for that particular age group. And so we split it out into three general age groups with more specific experts in each, which is elementary level, middle school level, and high school level. And the parents will have the opportunities to go to whichever one their children are part of. And if they have children in multiple age groups, like a middle schooler and an elementary school age child, then they can go to each of those. And if they have specific questions, you know, we'll have school counselors, school administrators, teachers, community collaborators there who will be focused on different ranges of topics so that they can really get a sense of, you know, what it is that they should expect from their children. Because a lot of parents, I find, I actually teach a teen parenting class at Children, Youth, and Family Services. And what we find a lot of time is that things that are completely normal for a teen to be doing, the parents don't even realize that that's what they should be doing. They are very shocked when you say, that's really what teens are about.
Such as
being very concerned about themselves first. I think, you know, me number one, that's a very normal thing as a teen because they're trying to hash out their sense of identity and who they are. And becoming more independent, like Wanda said, that those hands, they're getting further away from that, and being able to have them come back to it's a great thing. But they're trying to figure out who they are. So, and a lot of parents go, oh yeah, and it's not. I think some of the what we have and going on in our lives, we get so caught up in that. You know, we're working long hours, or we're on the road, or family's not as close, and we have to either communicate long distance or we have to drive to go see them, and all those things that are working in our world now that maybe didn't happen in the past when communities were kind of more tight-knit. It really plays in to the parents just going, gosh, it's something that's simple, but I don't think everybody thinks about it all the time. And it's not that they're doing anything wrong. It's just that they sometimes stepping back and going, wow, yeah, that's exactly what they're doing right now. And it's okay. And kind of learning, like, I can accept that at this age and understand that that's okay. And then on the flip side of that is also being able to identify where there might be something going on with a child. There might be a developmental delay, or there might be out of ordinary behavior. And then finding resources to help address that, because a lot of times parents, when they get to that point, are at a loss for how to address those behaviors or how to address the emotions that they're seeing that they may not have seen. And a lot of times they can come up suddenly. It can be a very small event. But I think helping the parents learn what it is and kind of throwing that net out wider to everybody so that they can really take in all these skills and all these tools, but first and foremost, you know, the parents themselves, that's where it starts, in the home. That right there, they're the number one teachers. They're the first ones there when they bring that child home from the hospital.
I'm curious, you know, we're talking about this and without a specific. I for me to understand it, I need a specific example. When you talk about, it could even be a small event. Are we talking about something as small as, again, not being a parent, maybe this isn't so small. You catch your child smoking a cigarette, or is it something more like told you a lie about, you know, that they did have, there was change from the $10 bill I gave you to go buy something? You know, what are we talking about here?
Well, I think it can be something as even kids really, I'll give you an example, a friend of ours, their children are very into routines. So, you know, they went to school and there came a day where their teacher was absent and the substitute teacher did things differently. And it was not how the child understood it, and they didn't really know what to do, and they got frustrated in that class, but they were young enough. We're talking about 6 or 7 year old. They were young enough. They didn't understand how to address that with the teacher or with someone else there at school. And so they came home and they were just crying to their parents. And so something as simple as, you wouldn't even think that a substitute teacher might affect a child that much, but the change in routine could be enough that then the child goes, wow, the parent then goes, wow, this is really strange because I've sent them to school for, you know, 100 straight days and this hasn't happened. But this one day they came home and they're bawling and I don't understand it. And so figuring that out.
And what I think is really cool about the example that Chris just gave is that kid came home crying to their mom, or that kid came home crying to their dad. And so when I think about attachment, I think about the way in which we think of it as a dance. You bring a baby home from the hospital, like you're talking about, is it a baby? And you try to figure out all these crazy cues and signals they're giving you. Are they hungry? Are they wet? You know, and it becomes an interactional process where the baby, the kid gives a signal. You try your best to figure out what it means. You meet their need well enough, often enough, that that kid begins to expect that when I have a need, my mom or dad is mostly going to figure it out, and mostly what they do is going to make it better. So that by the time I'm six and I go off to school and I have an experience like this, I bring that experience home because I now have a felt sense inside of me that my mom, my dad is a safe person that I bring it home to, and they'll welcome me, and they'll soothe me, and they'll organize me, and they'll help me make sense of what just happened, and together we come up with a plan for what I want to do.
11:35 here on the Wake Up Call, talking today about parenting with our guests, Wanda Seagroves and Chris Burton.
Today's programming on WNRN is supported by
Willow Tree Apps, creators of WNRN's apps for Android and iPhone. Willow Tree is looking for developers to join their Charlottesville team. You can enjoy the perks of working for an award-winning mobile agency in a team environment. To learn more, it's willowtreeapps.com/jobs.
Hi, I'm Erin Fry, Director of Communications and Outreach with Children Incorporated. In November, Typhoon Haiyan claimed over 6,000 lives in the Philippines. Through our Hope After Haiyan campaign, you can help. Children Incorporated supports projects in the Philippines, and they need our support now more than ever. One of our affiliated projects is located in Tacloban, the ground zero of the storm. Our project coordinators are requesting immediate funds to rebuild, renew, and revive their communities after the storm. Our goal is to raise $25,000 to provide relief. You can make a donation and provide Hope After Haiyan for children and communities in the Philippines today. To learn more about the work of Children Incorporated and to make a contribution, visit childrenincorporated.org. I'm Erin Fry, making a community connection on WNRN.
Make your community connection with WNRN. Email connection@WNRN.org with your nonprofit event or organization's information. Independent Music Radio, WNRN.
This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you again for being with us today. We are talking about parenting. There's an upcoming Parenting Power Workshop, Saturday, March 15th, 8:30 in the morning. Chris Burton, about how long? What's the length of the workshop?
So the workshop will be from 8:30 until 1. There'll be Wanda will give about an hour keynote address there, and then we'll have a short break and then two sets of breakout sessions. The first one would be the ages and stages questions that we just talked about for elementary, middle, and high school students, and that'll be an hour and a half, and then there'll be another short break, and then another hour-long, kind of more individually tailored topics that parents can go to then. They would just choose one of those, and lunch will be provided along with free child care.
Excellent, excellent. Always important things. If you're going to be sitting down talking about parenting, you need to make sure your kids are well taken care of, and you're going to get worn out, so you're going to want something to eat.
Yes.
Wanda, we've talked a little bit about your child attachment. Is theory the right word? Because theory makes it sound like it's never been implemented, and we know that's not true. What's the proper word that I should use?
Well, we talk about it as attachment relationships and attachment parenting.
All right. So attachment relationships. I think of helicopter moms, you know, the moms who won't let their kids do anything on their own. You were talking about, you know, building, block building. And certainly for many people on the outside, they consider that to be a negative version of child attachment. So when you give your keynote address, how do you take something that is, if done wrong, can be quite challenging, and how do you tell somebody the positive aspects of doing this?
Well, that's such a good question, and And I think of all the information in my head and how to condense and funnel that into answering your question as concisely as I can. But I think a lot of parenting is similar to being in an airplane and the stewardess comes out and says, if these little things drop down from over your head called an oxygen mask, put yours on first, then attend to your child. A lot of parenting, as our kids get older and move more into the world, is about I need the oxygen mask. It's not so much my kid does, right? I need it. And so when I'm anxious or being a helicopter mom or dad, if I am hovering too much or I am anxious about safety and security, I need a way to be able to soothe and organize myself, which is part of what the workshop's about. Part of what, if you're a parent and you have parents, you can go to them and say, oh, I'm really, you know, worried and concerned about this. And they become our hands and help us soothe and downregulate
but
so we can do a better job.
But who tells you about that? How do you identify that you are, I don't know if a little too attached is the proper phrase here, but who tells you that, you know what, you need to put your oxygen mask on, you because it's not going to drop automatically. There's no automaton out there testing everything for you.
That's why it's so important to have nested hands. Because while you're being a parent, you are a parent in relationship with other people. You're in relationship with other parents who are parenting their kids. You're in relationship, if you have a spouse, with your spouse or your partner. If you don't have a spouse or a partner, that's harder, single parenting. There are important other adults in your life that can come in and say, hey, you know what, it seems like you're pretty anxious and worried about your daughter or about your son. How can I help? And so we get feedback from other people all the time that helps us monitor or vary how we're doing. Am I doing more than scaffolding? Am I interfering with my child's normal, natural urges and instincts to explore? Which is tricky because your 2-year-old wants to run out into the street after the ball, right? So do I stop him? Do I not? Well, those are so much more clear-cut than some of the subtle issues we deal with in middle school and adolescence. So whether you're a hovering parent or you're trying to do a balance, we call it a dance, you know, between letting them go out to explore but watching over them and protecting them. For some kids, maybe there's not enough protection going on. They're being allowed to move too far, too fast, right? And so they need parents who are able to take charge a little better and pull them back in. So I don't know if I've answered your question, but I think of it as an interactive dance. I think the oxygen masks in our society have to be each other.
Right, but, you know, and again, I too often take on the negative view of things because what people seem to be doing, or at least the things that get the most feedback, are the people sitting on the sidelines, like myself, who are going, why are you doing that? Or breaking out the camera and taking a picture or a video of it and then posting it on YouTube so everybody can laugh about it or make negative commentary about it. It seems like we have lost, and whether you want to blame it on technology or just sort of a modernization, we don't have the, what's the old Hillary Clinton thing? It takes a
village.
The village isn't there as much as it used to be. And so I'm curious as to who is telling the mom or dad that they are helicoptering. That's not the word you use. Hovering. So that's one of my concerns. And again, we go back to the workshop and teaching someone that. What are the words or the questions that you bring up to the parents saying, is this you? And I don't know if that's part of one of the workshops. Here's one I want to get into. There's a breakout on positive discipline practices. Who wants to jump into that? Because that would be one of the questions today, is that there's, whether it's an even spread or not, I think we can all identify with someone who has maybe over-discipline or under-discipline or doing it just right. So, Chris, what's going to happen at the breakout session for that at the workshop?
I think when we're talking about positive discipline, I think we want to be very careful. We don't, you know, parents get into making those decisions on all right, what is behavior or is an event that happened that is not acceptable under my beliefs, values, system, or however you want to make it. And you know, where do we draw that line? And let's not, it's a very complicated thing. And I think it depends on each family and each parent and their own knowledge of their family. And some of that goes back to how they were raised and also what they've learned about being a parent. But the positive discipline is more about taking things, I think it's going to be a little bit more about things making sense as opposed to, you did this, so I'm going to take away this privilege, which is what a lot of people get into. Okay, you know, you got an F in this class at school, so I'm going to take away your iPad for 2 weeks.
So it's not the action-reaction that you're talking about at the breakout session.
No, I think it's going to be more about how you can do it proactively and together and set things up together as a family between, you know, I particularly think about it, especially in the teenage years and how you can work together about that. I think when children are younger, obviously as a parent, you're the one making more of the decisions and more of the limitations because they're not to that point. But as teens get older and kids get older, they understand that, you know, they understand what they did was right or wrong, and they know there's probably something to be expected there. So, you know, you can do it in a way that is both respectful for the parent and for the child, but also that the next time that it happens or the next time they're in a situation where they may make the same mistake, they can think about that and go, oh, well, last time, you know, mom or dad really followed through with this. Maybe I should choose not to do that, or maybe I should try and do the thing that they're asking me to do, which is the positive result of that. You know, oh, I wasn't where, for an example, I wasn't where mom thought I was going to be. And she was pretty upset the last time she caught me not being where I thought I was going to be, you know. And but we discussed that, and that's in their mind. You know, they're thinking, like Wanda said, kids want to go back to their parents. They want that approval from their parents so badly. And so, you know, coming back, maybe that next time the child goes, well, maybe I should call mom and let her know where I am and, you know, and be there so that she doesn't think. So in case she calls the other kid's parents or, you know, questions where I am, that I'm actually where I'm supposed to be. And then that way it's a little bit more, not just punitive in the way consequences are given out.
Chris Burton from Charlottesville Children, Youth and Family Services. Wanda Seagrove is also here with us, the keynote speaker at the upcoming Parenting Power Workshop. Wanda, I asked about helicopter parenting, and Chris mentioned the child wanting approval from the parents. How about not becoming the kid's friend, but remaining the parent?
Boy, you know, that's a real challenge. I mean, we've seen extremes on both ends of the continuum in our society, right? I mean, parents who are simply thinking of themselves as being the authority person setting the rules and regulations, and then parents who just want to be liked. And as we go back to thinking about the role of parents in a kid's life over time, it's about getting to know that child, understanding what they need, and my need for being liked, that's my issue, right? And I've got to deal with that with my hands or my friends or whatever. My role is to think about what my child needs and how can I meet that need. Yeah, nobody wants their kid to not like them, including me. I remember a conversation I had with one of my daughters, I won't say which one, when she was in high school, and she was going through a real period of testing limits with me, and we have some real funny stories about that. And she was at that stage where she didn't want you to touch her or speak to her in public and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And so this one particular day, I went up to her and I put my hand on her shoulder and I said, listen, I know you want the reins. I know you want to drive this car, and you're going to get to drive the car all on your own. And I'm not talking about the literal car. I'm talking about make your own choices and decisions. The tricky thing here is I want to let you have it as you're ready and not too soon, right? And that's tough. It's tough being a kid. It is really tough being a parent. And I don't want you to not like me, but you know what? It's more important that I think about what you need than whether or not you like me right now. To which she smiled. Now, did our relationship instantly become warm and loving and I was her best friend? No, absolutely not. There was still struggle as she was beginning to move out into the world and times where she was angry that she didn't have as much freedom as she wanted or thought she was ready for. And did I do it perfectly? No. Secure parenting is not about doing it perfectly. It's about maintaining a connection with your kid emotionally where you create a sense of safety and security. So here's the big one. Here's the big one. When we mess up, we know how to make up. We have what we call a circle of repair that we've been practicing since my child was two. So that not only does my child see me be able to come back and say, you know, I blew it, I made a mistake, but by the time my child is 14, 15, 16, they can do that too.
I'm still waiting for the perfect parents to identify themselves.
There aren't any. It's well, not about perfect parenting.
Have you found any who said, I don't need any help? I'm already doing the right thing?
Well, sure.
Right. So they're the perfect parents. I just don't buy that. 11:50 here on the Wake Up Call. Our guests today, Wanda Seagroves and Chris Burton, as we are talking about parenting. There's an upcoming workshop on March 15th at Charlottesville's Burley Middle School. Let me take a moment and remind you that WNRN Spring Fun Drive is coming up. You can be an Evergreen member. Evergreen members have simplified the contribution process by making a monthly donation on a continuing basis. They're making a major contribution to keeping independent music radio alive, and they've helped us shorten the fall fun drive. Become an Evergreen member today at WNRN.org. You can get it and do it early. You'll get all the benefits of being a VIP. You get to be a card-carrying member, and it's all so easy. So go to the website, WNRN.org, right now, and join the over 300 WNRN Evergreen members. All right, a few minutes left with our guests, Chris Burton and Wanda Seagroves. So I want to talk about a couple of the other workshops that are coming up, part of the seminar, the workshop, Safe Internet Use for Teens.
Yes.
Because I'm sure that's a challenge for everybody, and probably even before you're a teen. You don't have to be 13. It doesn't trip the magic switch where you become concerned about that. Chris?
Yeah, it's great. We found out that the Charlottesville School's Technology Department, they're going to have speakers for each age group when we do the ages and stages, and then also one on, safe internet practices. You know, it's something that out there, it's really a way for parents to realize, you know, I mean, I think everybody knows that anybody, if they're allowed access to a computer, can get anywhere on the internet they want to go. I mean, it's you know, some things are quote age restricted, but it, I mean, teens nowadays, they can figure out a way to get around that stuff. So, you know, it's really about, I think, thinking about technology in a way that can be useful, or how to set limits on it that don't make your teen feel restricted about it, or your preteen feel restricted about it. I mean, I think about the big one is Facebook. I mean, Facebook has an age restriction of you're supposed to be 13 to make it on Facebook, but there's plenty of kids out there who are younger than 13 who are getting on Facebook and using it. And, you know, it's taking things like that and, you know, letting parents, I know parents who, a lot of them, what they'll do with their technology is they'll, you know, especially with younger children, they'll have a family computer in their living room or in a common space or in the kitchen area. And that's the computer the children can use. So they're not necessarily there monitoring everything or looking over their shoulder, but, you know, giving them an opportunity saying, hey, I trust that you're going to use this appropriately. And because it's in an open space, hopefully that they'll follow through with that. But that could be some of the sort of things, that'll be addressing. But also, I want to make sure we get this in, too, and make sure that we express that there's going to be a whole Spanish language section there, which is very, very important. We have a lot of a growing Latino community here in Charlottesville area. And, any Latino parents, Spanish-speaking parents, are certainly encouraged to come out. We're going to have a great workshop with them, all Spanish, so that they can ask questions to experts from different organizations as well as the English speaking.
Please make sure to share that information with your coworkers or neighbors. Obviously, my Spanish speaking skills have dwindled dramatically since my high school and college days. So I don't know how many true Latinos are listening today, but you can go to the Power Workshop, Parenting Power Workshop, and participate that way. Wanda, one of the other breakout sessions at the workshop has to do with support for grandparents who are providing custodial care. I'm curious as to what different challenges may exist for a grandparent to take on the caretaking again.
Well, there are a lot of challenges for grandparents who are trying to raise grandchildren. Some of that has to do with, of course, it can be related to age. I mean, I don't have the energy that I had when I was 20 or 30, and if I found myself raising grandkids at this time, I'd certainly be behind the energy curve, and I would need lots of support and help with that. But we also think about, for many grandparents who are raising grandkids, that means there's been a loss for the child they're raising, a loss of a relationship with a parent in some way that is that child is going to bring into the relationship. It also, in some ways, is a loss for grandparents because, you know, grandparents talk about looking forward to being able to spoil the kids and have fun with them and send them home. And now you're in the role of being a parent. And that's a challenge.
Hey, Chris, that's one of the breakout sessions. What is happening there? So it sounds like, I mean, for that this whole workshop, I've been envisioning parents of, you know, young kids, you know, elementary school or maybe a little younger through those who are still working with teenagers. But this makes me think that grandparents will be there as well or hopefully participating.
Yes, yes. And that's the point, is to cast a wide net and address topics that, coming from the different experts among the community collaborators, you know, these are things as a committee that we discussed and thought about what would be useful for folks in our community to understand, and hopefully casting that net wider so that we can catch some of those things that we might not think of. Grandparents, you know, we want to make sure we're welcoming to Spanish speaking. We're going to have stuff on health, you know, you know, what might be risky behaviors, and then things you can do to be healthy as a child and a teenager, things like that, that different topics that aren't just this is how you can be a parent or this are suggestions for that. We want to make sure the net's cast wide enough so everyone feels welcome to come to this.
Wanda, you and I exchanged some emails in anticipation of putting this show together, and I want to quote you from one of your emails. Parenting continues to be challenging while at the same time rewarding and heartbreaking and joyful. So we walk into this job, whether we expect it or you expect it, again, I'm not a parent, whether you expect it, anticipate it, or just discover it along the way, is that the roller coaster that goes along with being a parent.
Absolutely. And every child is different.
But every parent is different as well.
That's right.
And so that means that there's, I can't even do the geometric progression of the many relationships. The mother is different from the father, who are each have a different relationship with the child. And for those of us who were blessed enough to have a large integrated family, when I graduated high school, I still had three great grandmothers alive. And the challenges that come along with that. And here we are with the upcoming workshop with the goal of making the parenting give you, a better structure, work on the foundation a little bit, and make you feel positive about the things that you hopefully have been doing, and a nice pat on the back as you go forward?
Well, again, I think that my focus is encouraging and supporting parents and recognizing how important and valuable they are to their kids, which gets undervalued, I think, but really reinforcing how valuable, important you are and the role you play in their life and what a good job you're doing. And to think about ways in which most of us want to do what we do better. So what can we do? How can we improve? What can we focus on?
And I guess we'll find out at the workshop. Chris, last chance, the little info on the workshop, where, when?
It is March 15th at 8:30 in the morning at Burley Middle School, which is on Rose Hill Drive. And you can register through www.safeschoolsseaville.org. There's a registration page there. Or you can look up and call the Safe Schools phone number, and their office is there, and they'll also take a registration through the phone.
All right. Thanks to both of our guests today, Chris Burton from Children, Youth, and Family Services, and Wanda Seagrove. She'll be the keynote speaker at the workshop, also an attachment theory specialist. Wanda drove a long way to get here. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Chris, appreciate what you do.
You're welcome. Thank you, Rick.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is supported by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, homegrown since 1982. You can visit Charlottesville's only locally owned and operated chain of convenience stores today. They operate on Main Street, not Wall Street. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at wakeupcall@wnrn.org. The Wake Up Call is produced by Brandon Wong and Max Cecilia Struther. Tune in next Sunday morning at 11 for The Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.